appreciate your prayers and your attention for a little while. I want to talk to you about Cain, by the Lord's help. Our lives are made up of a series of choices that all of us make and the consequence of those choices. And listening to the voice of the Lord or rejecting the voice of the Lord is a choice. So let's talk about Cain a little bit. The old song says there's a line that is drawn by rejecting the Lord. The first we have record of who did that were Adam and Eve. There certainly was a line drawn in their lives. There had been no death in the world until that time. I suppose it was impossible for Adam and Eve to foresee the consequences of what they did. Those who are wiser than I study those things say that there was no killing among the animals, that lions really were as safe as lambs. There was no death. I'm not wise enough to prove it, but that's what those who studied it more than I have said. I don't think Adam and Eve had any idea the suffering that they brought onto humans and the animal creation by taking of that fruit. Or even the consequence of having the access cut off to the garden. That's all they'd ever known. I have no record that they lived anywhere else besides the Garden of Eden. To be driven out and have an angel put there with a flaming sword that turned every way, that made it impossible for them to ever go back again. I don't think they had any idea that any of that was going to happen. The devil lied to them. You ever heard folks say there's two sides to every story? Well, folks, it isn't true. The devil hadn't got a side. And Adam and Eve would have been better off. Eve would have been a lot better off if she'd never listened to anything the devil had to say. We don't want to get in a reasoning contest with the devil. Sometimes I hear folks say, I don't want to do anything unless I understand it in serving the Lord. And I felt that way too when I was younger. That's good human thinking, but it's so dangerous. It was impossible for Adam and Eve to really understand what they were doing. It should have been enough for the Lord to say, leave it alone. He knew better than they did. He knows better how to guide your life and mine than we know how ourselves. Much better. We're wise. We're wise. Even if we don't understand why the Lord said to leave some things alone, we're wise to listen to His voice. And we're wise also to listen to spiritual people who've had experience with life. They tell us, be wary of certain things. We're wise to listen to that. Paul wrote Timothy about Alexander the coppersmith. He said, he did me much hurt, much evil. He said, of whom be thou aware also. And I think Timothy would be it'd just be a real reasonable decision to say, I'm not in Paul's league. If that man could hurt Paul, what'll he do to me? I don't have to go down there and stick my head in that lion's mouth to find out for myself. Just listen. So, Adam and Eve were the first. And there was a line that was drawn. Who drew the line? Well, they did. It was their decision that drew the line. You could also say the Lord drew the line. He is the one who put the angel there. Everything we do in serving the Lord is a cooperative effort. There's a part for us to do and a part for God to do. And that is true when we're moving toward Him. It's also true when we're moving away from Him. So with Adam and Eve, they drew the line. And God drew the line. Song says, where the call of His Spirit is lost. Well, let's leave Adam and Eve a little bit and drop down to Cain and see how that happened with him. Because Cain was the third. Adam and Eve's transgression caused Cain to be born into a world where sin already existed, which was my fate and yours. But Cain took sin to another level. Certainly no one else had ever done in the history of the world what Cain did. So Adam and Eve had two boys, Cain and Abel, Cain being the oldest. Cain had sheep. Abel was a farmer. Either one of those are honorable traits. Adam started as a husbandman, we'd say, or a gardener. Cain was a farmer. That's an honorable trait. Abel was a shepherd. I suppose, of all things there are to keep people out of trouble, those are about as good as any. I grew up on a dairy farm, and I understand a little of what the Lord meant when He said, "You'll earn your bread by the sweat of your face." That's a curse. He couldn't have the communion with God anymore because of his sin. The Lord gave him the next best thing. After a man's put in a day plowing or hauling hay, things of that sort, he's not too interested in going into town and getting into mischief, especially if he's got another day of it ahead of him the next day. Good hard work. It's the next best deterrent that there is to sin. And the Lord gave us plenty of it to do. Part of the trouble with our world today is that the cleverness of people have figured so many ways to avoid hard physical work. And folks would sometimes, I think, be better off if they had more of it to do. But at any rate, Cain and Abel had conflict between them. Well, let's look at what the book says. In process of time, it came to pass. The old Chaldee words for process of time are miketz yamim. And the more literal translation would be, at the end of days. At the end of days, it came to pass, or as the old rabbis taught, Adam and Eve set up a regular time of worship. Now, this was long before the time of Moses, but they already knew about the seven-day week in which God created the world and then rested the seventh day. So maybe it's not too much to surmise that they set aside the seventh day. At any rate, the indication, the language that's expressed in this scripture is that there was a time of worship, probably of family worship. And they all came together. There was a distance between them and God. And what else can you do when you're human beings? These were fresh from the hand of God, newly created. There's not any possibility for Adam and Eve to be atheists. They had been right there with Him. They knew. They knew there's accountability. They knew they needed to worship Him. They set up a time. Humans have been doing that ever since. People who are far removed from this knowledge of the Bible, still there's something in them that knows they need to worship. So Adam and Eve, according to the old rabbis, set up a time of worship. Cain and Abel were there, and they brought their sacrifices. Cain brought a sacrifice of grains, of vegetables, whatever he raised with his hands. And the indication in the scripture is, Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. He also brought, is thought to mean, that along with the grain sacrifice that Cain brought, Abel also brought. It doesn't mean, the words don't mean his offering was superior to the one that Cain brought. It means in addition to what Cain brought. Abel also brought. He brought the grain offering, but he also brought a sheep. But Cain just brought the grain. And God accepted one and not the other. And that's the cause of the problem that arose between them. It's also the first step that leads into paganism. There's a recognition here that for all we have received, we ought to be thankful to some higher power. But bringing a lamb or a living sacrifice of any sort is also an indication that we need to repent of brokenness. As if to say, I realize the reason around the ground is hard, the reason that I have to work like I do, because my parents sinned. And I've done some too. I need mercy. I need to be forgiven. I want you it's a reaching out to the Redeemer. And it is impossible for anyone to serve God without some of that brokenness and being willing to come and say, I need help. I need mercy. I am a human and I have failed. Cain didn't do it. Now we see the consequence of what Cain's attitude was in what he did not long after this. Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock thereof. He also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. As you see, it is not as if God sits up there in heaven and says, I think I'll bless this one today and that one tomorrow. No, there's one I don't like the color of his face too well, so I don't think I'll bless him today. He couldn't bless Cain. It wasn't that he didn't want to. He couldn't. Because he is holy. He is absolutely holy. And where there is some human transgression in the way, before God can bless, there has to be some kind of way to deal with that. Now, already this was looking forward to the crucifixion of Christ. But Abel had something in his spirit that recognized that. And he brought a sacrifice to the Lord that showed, I realize I have a need in my soul. But Cain didn't acknowledge that need. That's really the error, in my best understanding of it, that's given to us in this passage of Scripture. But unto Cain and to his offering, I could say, God could not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why are you angry? Why are your thoughts going like they're going? Why do you think the things that you're thinking? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Throughout my time among the saints, I have heard this scripture explained many times, that sin lay near to Cain. The next decision will lead to sin. And the consequence of this will be, if you commit sin, that your desire will be towards sin. The commentators give a little different version of it. And I'm going to tell it to you tonight, but I won't insist on it. The commentaries say, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, even if your heart is turned as it is, in so many words, sin lieth at the door. But the word that's translated sin here is translated in the Old Testament over 100 times as sin offering, lieth at the door. As if to say to Cain, it isn't so hard for you. I have something right here. All you have to do is take a few steps. And you can have a lamb to offer just like Abel did. I am not trying to shut the door. It's not difficult. Folks, salvation comes near to every one of us. He didn't want to make it a hard hurdle for us to cross. He didn't want to make it so that the pull of the world is so great it can only scarcely be overcome. A sin offering, the commentary says, lies right here. All you have to do is step outside the door and take it. And look, you're angry with your brother because he's younger than you are. Because there's only 4 people in the world, as far as we know, as far as I know. And now it looks like you've been made the least of the 4 because I'm accepting everybody's sacrifice but yours. Well, it doesn't have to be that way, Cain. Because your brother's desire will be to you. You'll have authority over him. You're the older person, and it's natural in a boy to look up to his older brother. As I say, I've heard this scripture explained many times. Sin lieth at the door, and if you go through that, you'll be guilty of transgression. And if you do that, your desire will be a sinful way from that time on. And I don't deny it, but I think there's also a possibility that there's an indication here of God's great mercy. Realizing that there's a line that is drawn by rejecting the Lord, where the call of His Spirit is lost. Cain talked with Abel, his brother. The old rabbis said, they had information that we don't, but it's impossible to confirm. So I'll just tell you what they said and leave it with you. Where we have translated, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field. They say, Cain said to Abel, come for a walk with me in the field. And that indicates premeditation. They had in mind to do something bad when he went out there. And I don't know who supplied these things, but part of their conversation has been handed down through the legends. And I'll mention it to you because it is a reasonable thing. Maybe because it points up the way the devil works. Cain said, there is no God. For if there is, he's not fair. Because I've offered my sacrifice just like you have. You're discriminating against me. It's impossible for me to get the same blessing that you get. It is unfair that I, the older brother, should be treated as I have been treated. And Abel made response. It isn't that way, brother. You can have your blessing the same as the rest of us can have. All is necessary is for you to be willing to humble yourself. The more Abel talked, the more Cain's fury rose. Until he, the old rabbis say, picked up a rock and hit Abel in the forehead with it. And so took his life and went and buried his body. It became the first murder. Say, Cain killed the most righteous man in the world at that time. And every persecutor since is a son of the old murderer in spirit. Still something rises up in people against the truth, against righteousness, to cause them to behave like old Cain did. The reason that's important to us, folks, is because the devil still comes to you and me with the same kind of reasonings to try to get us to cross the line that cannot be gone back over when our camp meeting season comes and altar call songs are being sung. The old devil will be there. He'll be telling folks, these people are not right. This is all just emotion. He'll be telling folks, listen to so-and-so, they're speaking out of order. He'll be telling folks, how does that preacher know what they're saying's right? How do you know the Bible's true? He's had those same arguments for centuries, and he's tricked many a soul into losing everything. Or just that very kind of a way. I think what this line really is, there's a line that is drawn. When do you reject the Lord? What is the point in a person's life when you reject the Lord? People get in question about sin sometimes. You know, if you get in a strong temptation, even if you bend in the temptation, that's not necessarily sin. Sin is when you make a decision to do the wrong thing and you start to carry it out. And something happens to you on the inside and you change and you can feel it. It's different. Judas knew. He knew Something had happened when the Lord spoke to him and told him, what you do, do quickly. And he got up and left. He knew something had changed. He was not the same man that he was before. There's a difference in being in a temptation and having gone into a place where the Lord would send you to hell if you died that moment. Sometimes honest folks make the mistake because they're in a temptation. I think Cain was in a temptation. Although he premeditated what he did, he was in a temptation. All the way out into the field, through all of his discussion with Abel, he still hadn't reached a point that he couldn't turn around. And there comes a point of climax. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting the Lord. This is a message, the import of this gospel, I should say, we'd all do well to remember for a lifetime, because the devil's always trying to get us to cross that line. There's a line that is drawn. When he picked up the rock, he still hadn't killed anybody. When he drew back his hand, he still hadn't killed anybody. And the climax is in his brother's eyes. Because if he hit him in the forehead, you know Abel saw it coming. And what expression would he have on his face? This is my brother. And besides, look what's about to happen to me. It's horrifying. What was about to take place? I remember years ago in Oklahoma, there was a killing contract, murder for hire. Somebody didn't like their wife and hired one of their buddies to go kill her. There's someone that knew her well. He got caught. They asked him about it. Said he went to her home and rang the bell. She let him in. She was not suspicious. He said he came to the back door of her house and she let him in. He followed her into the kitchen. And he said, she stood with her back to me and I shot her. And I thought it would be easy. And she would fall. But she didn't. She turned around and looked at me and called my name. And he shot her again, and he said, that haunts my mind. The horror of it, the expression, the shock, the wonder. How could you do this? How could you do it right up to the time that he pulled the trigger? He hadn't crossed the line. He's in a temptation. He's getting on dangerous grounds. But he hadn't got to. But the instant the rock hit Abel's forehead, something happened, and it can never be gone back from again. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting the Lord. Where the call of His Spirit, I wouldn't say that God left Cain to never talk to him again, but to deal with him like he had before. Cain, please don't do this. There's no doing that anymore. Again, there's no reason to. It can't call him back from the man is dead. And you did it and it'll always be that way. It's been, 6,000, 8,000 years ago, who knows how long. And it's still that way tonight, and it'll be that way forever. Oh, that's the treachery of sin, folks. The devil lies to us. He is always trying to crowd you and me to cross a line that there's no going back from. He does it with our young people concerning marriage. Get you caught in a trap. Somebody that doesn't believe the same thing you do, is not headed the same way you are, you can get a lifetime of misery out of that. He does it by trying to get our young people to marry an illegal marriage. Somebody that's been married before is fraud. That's somebody else's wife. That's somebody else's husband. The devil's always trying to get you to cross that line. Where the call of His Spirit, where one time the Spirit called you, to be innocent, to be humble, to have a life the Lord could use in His service. But once you do that, you'll never stand clean behind the saint's pulpit. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting the Lord. Poor old Cain crossed the line, and he couldn't ever get back across it again. Hebrews 11:4 speaks of this. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh, by faith, because, folks, if you and I avoid crossing the line, we do it by faith. You can't do this because you see it with your human wisdom. It can't be done. I tell you, you can't reason with the devil. I tell you, folks, it is not true that there are two sides to every story. The devil hasn't got a side. He'll lie to you. That's all he can do. He's got nothing good to present. If the devil would present his side like it really is, no living soul would ever accept it. Not you, not me, not anyone, not the vilest in the world. The devil hadn't got a side. He's a liar. Tonight, maybe there's no one here who would say, I'm unsaved. I need to count the cost to my soul. My message is a message to be carried throughout a lifetime, because between here and the judgment, every one of us are going to feel pushed toward that line. And we need faith to understand we ought to serve the Lord. Folks, we ought to serve the Lord. He in his wisdom wants to protect us from the damnation that fell on poor old Cain, that fell on Adam and Eve, the subject to fall on you and me if we cross the line. There is a line that is drawn by rejecting the Lord where the call of his spirit is lost. But you hurry along with a pleasure-mad throng. Look at the world around us. There are so many voices there to take the consequence out of sin, conceal the sting of what it really is. I had a discussion yesterday with a brother. What do I do if a member of my family wants to marry someone who's been married before and they invite me to the wedding? I love them and I want them to be happy, but don't agree. So we had a discussion about that. I gave him my understanding of it. But I said, I want to tell you a story that my mother told me about Brother Carver. I haven't confirmed it. Brother Carver had a son who got in double marriage, invited his dad to the wedding. Brother Carver humored his son and went, I was told. And when the appropriate time came into service, Brother Carver's son said, Dad, would you offer a prayer for us? Brother Carver got out in the aisle and got on his knees, and he begged God to have mercy on his boy's soul, because he's caught in a devil's trap. How can I sanction this? That's one more step to cause my boy to be lost eternally, that moves him one serious step farther from eternal life. How can I possibly endorse this? He begged God to have mercy on his boy's soul. There's a line that is drawn. And the call changes after that. How could it do anything else? God never called Cain again not to hit Abel. There's nothing to call to. Folks, as you go through life, there are decisions that you and I make that we can't ever go back from. There are lines. Who drew the line for Cain? Well, Cain did. He drew it. He made the decision. But who drew the line? God did. God said, the voice of your brother's blood calls to me, cries to me is the word that he used, from the earth. Because I made the rock, and I made the earth, and I made your body so it can be broken by a rock. I didn't do it for evil, but you've made me an accessory after the fact of murder by using it like you have, and I'm going to deal fairly with my part of it. You cannot be innocent and do what you've done. And the curse fell on Cain. I could say the worst thing that could happen to a person, short of actually being dead and in a devil's hell, happened to Cain the day he hit Abel. Abel went to be with the Lord. Cain said, my punishment is more than I can bear. Cain talked with Abel, came to pass, and in a field, Cain rose up against Abel's brother and slew him. The Lord said unto Cain, do you think you got away with this? You think I didn't see? Oh, folks, when we're alone in our room at night, It's quiet. Nobody knows what we're thinking, what we're doing. The Lord knows it all. All things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, searching the hearts of people. And so Cain, he got away from Adam. He got away from Eve. He's out in the field. Maybe he had in mind to do like Joseph's brothers did. The lions got him, or something else happened to him. I don't know what he thought, but he didn't work with God. What hast thou done? Abel said, or Cain said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? But the Lord didn't drop it there. He said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And so on. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. So I have a burden tonight. O Lord, have mercy on my soul and help me with these dangerous things. I have a burden tonight to speak to us once again. I suppose everyone here is old enough to understand, has heard these things before and will again. To write the same things unto you, to me is not grievous, but for you it is safe. So said the book. You may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy. Maybe Cain felt some satisfaction when he saw Abel fall. He's not better than me now. I'll show him who's the biggest. How short did that last? How short did that last? Folks, the pleasures of sin, first, they are deceptive. They aren't as much fun as the devil said they are. You don't find many happy faces among the sinners. No, you don't. No, you don't. Not among folks who have been saved and gone away. Not among any of them, but particularly among folks who have known the truth and gone away. Go to get a little pleasure, but to get caught in the toils of it, and to just wind around deeper and deeper, and the farther they go, the more miserable it is. Wretchedness. Broken lives, shattered and ruined. You may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most, the glitter of sin and the things it will win. Have you thought of the cost? So said the song. So say we here in the service tonight. Think of the cost. When next the devil comes to talk to you about going the wrong way, about a little sin, a little temptation, a little entertainment of the world, its pleasures, a little sin. Think of the cost. Little sins don't stay little. Can't say it often enough. Little sins don't stay little. Folks start out to try a little of the wildlife, a little party, a little dancing, a little of the fun, a little of the amusement. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. It winds into something deeper every time. That is the place of damnation, of destruction to your soul and your life. The old devil wants to sift you like wheat and take away from you everything as precious that you've ever had, every hope, every chance to ever be fulfilled, beautiful, live the life the Lord gave you. You may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most, the glitter of sin, the things it will win. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? While the door of His mercy is open to you. See, I'm a preacher. And it's the burden of preachers to go find the Cains and say to them, don't do this. Please, Cain, don't do this. Come to Monarch. I wish old Cain had made a visit to Monarch before he did this. It might have saved all of us a lot of trouble. It might have changed the story that's in the Bible. You know, that's why we have Monarch. For you and me. Lord, save us from the darkness, from the broken heart and the broken life. That's the door of His mercy is open to you. Ere the depth of His love you exhaust, won't you come and be healed? See, Cain was upset because God wouldn't accept a sacrifice. And the devil told him, no doubt, God's not fair if there is a God. You should be honored more than your brother because you're older. He didn't tell you the right way. The Lord didn't deal with you right. This your parents' fault. All of those things. If he had humbled himself, all of that could have been healed. Of course, that's what the devil told him. And the devil will tell you something too. Yes, he will. If you'll follow God's way, he'll heal that. All it would have taken is for Cain to take a little limb and say, I realize I need help too. And be willing to sacrifice it. And it could have changed everything. His spirit would change. We could say, look, there's only the four of us left, but we can be happy, the four of us, and get along and help each other. Gracious, I'm going to be a farmer. I need a brother who's got some sheep. Need wool. Need some mutton. Need somebody to help me when the making hay. Got rain might be coming. Got to get it in. Now there's not anybody. Mom and Dad getting old. The only one I had I killed. You know? He could have been healed. I tell you, you can be healed of whatever life brought you. You can be healed, but you listen to the devil and he's telling you something that'll cheat you out of it. Won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, I yield? I did it. I thought this through. Decided it's not worth it. I've counted the cost. Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Though you gain the whole world for your own. A very few men may be said to have done that. Alexander the Great. He conquered the world by the time he was 35 years old. He sat down by the ocean and wept because there was nothing else to conquer. But it didn't help him in eternity. And besides that, I'm not Alexander the Great. And pretty likely you're not either. Conquer the whole world. But even if you could, if your soul should be lost, it wouldn't be worth it. Alexander the Great finally died. I read a story once about a room in one of those old castles over there in Europe that was open. There was a room in it, in the castle, that was kept locked and barricaded and so forth. But after centuries, it was open. Those who went in found there a throne and a skeleton sitting on the throne and the crown crusted with gold and jewels on his head and his sword. And investigated and found it was the skeleton of old Alexander. It's like he couldn't bear to give it up, but he did. And so will you and I. Life has an end. We remember the phraseology that's out there on the board of Monarch. I must die, but when? I must meet God, but how? I will live in eternity, but where? There is a line that is drawn by rejecting the Lord. Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Though you gain the whole world for your own? Even now it may be. Now that's a heart-stopping line, isn't it? That the line you have crossed. Have you counted the cost? So as I say, maybe no one here tonight would say, I'm not saved. Take my little thought with you anyway. Because life's got more things in it than you think it might. And the devil's always trying to crowd you toward that line. Have a caution for your soul. Please don't allow our great enemy to crowd you over the line. Cain never got back what he had before he hit Abel. Adam and Eve never got back what they had before they ate the forbidden fruit. You can do things. People can do things. Even though God forgives, it's never again like it hadn't happened. Just can't correct it. The call's not there anymore because there's no way to call back to what you were. Don't let the devil crowd you into that kind of place. Let me talk on the other side. There is a life. Thank God. There is a life. People can live putting the Lord first. Where His blessings will come down. He'll guide your soul. He'll winnow your path. He'll keep you from the devil's traps. You don't know where the traps are, but the Lord does. He'll tell you when to turn. He'll tell you when to stop. He'll tell you what to do with your life, and it'll bring peace. It's not very glamorous. It's not very noticed to the world. It's very safe. It's got great blessings in it. And you'll have adventures, and you'll have peace at the end of the journey. Hear the Master say, well done. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention. Amen.